Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Dark Side of Wikipedia. After a year of doing this show and you guys loving it, we've created a way to give you even more Dark Side content. How? By you becoming a Dark Sider. That's a supporter of the Dark Side of Wikipedia. When you become a Dark Sider, you get advanced access to our episodes months before they're released to the public. So if you want more to binge away on, this is the way to get it. In addition to the advanced episodes, you also get our archive of episodes, and all of it is commercial free. So if you like the show and you want to listen without the pesky commercials, become a Dark Sider. In addition to all of that, we're also now giving final chapters to all of our new episodes. That means you get to hear an extra chapter of the story and discussion, usually an extra 15, 20, 25 minutes of content for each episode that we're calling the final chapter, which is exclusively for Dark Sider members. The reality is, this show is not free for us to create. It takes a lot of time, effort, and money to put it together. So if you'd like to be part of the Dark Side of Wikipedia, support us and keep us on the air, and in exchange, get all of those extras, please become a Dark Sider. Do it by signing up at patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider. It's only $5 a month, and you get access to everything I just talked about. Check it out today, patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia, or go to our website, darksideofwiki.com, and click Become a Dark Sider, and help keep Dark Side of Wikipedia alive. A man live streams bodies onto social media and is surprised to find consequences awaiting him. Notorious celebrity P.I. Jack Palladino murdered at the age of 76. The victims of a triple murder-suicide identified, but what was the motive for the crime? Those stories and more on this week's Dark Side of the News. Dark Side of Wikipedia.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is the Dark Side of Wikipedia.
That it is. And this is our new Friday weekly kind of roundup of the dark news stories of the week, where we read them from various sources and then discuss all of the kind of dark, disturbing things. It'll probably end up making it into larger Dark Side entries at some point in time, but why not get a fresh taste of it while it's going on? Like a free sample. You just want to go in there with a chip and you open up the thing like, oh, this dip looks delicious. And you go and you're like, shit, is that cream cheese or is that a booger? And you're like, okay, I'm done with free samples again. I'm swearing them off for another month. And you go back the next month, you're like, oh, yeah, all right, that cream cheese dip. Shit, is that a pubic hair? Oh, my God. I guess I'll just eat the saltine, but come on. Yeah, so that's kind of like what the show is. Once a week, we just kind of go through all of the stuff of the week. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you on today's episode.
I'm never going to think of cream cheese quite the same way.
Good visuals. You gotta look at it. You got to identify. I hate when you have sour cream or cream cheese that's like in a container, and then you open it and it's got the little bit of liquid on top. I know it's fine. You just can either stir it back in or dump it out. It's all kind of just part of the process of a dairy product. But to me, it's just kind of like little gross.
I always go to, is this rotten?
Yeah.
Is it expired?
Mm-hmm. Smell will tell you that. I mean, pretty quick. And the thing is, you don't have to live by sell-by dates either. Those dates are, and you would probably know this pretty well, considering the field that you're in, that sell-by dates are not expiration dates. So you can go a bit further than that on most products, depending on what it is. Again, use at your own risk. But it's not always meaning that this product is now expired. It means you got to get it off the shelf so they can get the next piece of inventory in.
Well, and there's a sell-by date, and then there's a best. Have you ever seen it?
Best, yeah, best
buy,
is different.
Like,
yep.
B-U-Y, not like Best Buy the store. Yeah. But so even then, it's not rotten the next day.
Yeah, you got a couple days there.
But, you know, if I'm at the store and it's like, okay, I've got one day from that and, you know, it doesn't magically go bad.
Mm-hmm. Unless
but
it's sushi.
Do you really want to buy it or do you want to reach behind it and get the exact same product that, you know, doesn't expire for weeks?
Exactly. Unless it's
so
sushi.
That's how that food ends up at a food bank.
Yeah. And that's where you can, then you can push it out and it can go and not be wasted and right. people can get nourished and get food. It's interesting how that whole process works. And I think a lot of people are just kind of oblivious to it. But anyway, look out for the boogers and the cream cheese at the free sample aisle. That's the lesson of the intro to this show. Anyway, let's go into our first story here. This is where a SWAT team arrests man accused of live streaming dead bodies in a California apartment. Let's see how this goes down and then discuss. A Sacramento man was arrested and charged with two counts of murder last week after police say he live streamed himself on social media with the bodies of two women on the floor in the background. Vacaville police officers performed a requested welfare check at the Rocky Hill Veterans Apartments on Rocky Hill Road at about 12:42 a.m. on Saturday, January 30th. The caller said a man in an apartment there had live-streamed himself on social media carrying a gun with two women seen motionless on the floor. A SWAT team and negotiators were called to the scene where the suspect reportedly barricaded himself inside the apartment. According to the Vacaville police, negotiations were unsuccessful, police said. And after other apartment units were evacuated, chemical agents were deployed. Officers then entered the apartment and used a taser on the suspect during a brief struggle, police said, at about 8:32 a.m. Two women were found dead in the apartment. The causes of their deaths are under investigation. Raymond Weber, 29, was held without bond at the Solano County Jail on two counts of murder. Weber was also wanted on an outstanding warrant for domestic battery and assault with a deadly weapon. So, what is this with the idea of live streaming yourself? Is that the cry for help? Is that the come get me now instead of a phone call to the somebody saying I killed somebody?
Or is it bragging?
Is it like the trophy thing that some people kind of got going on with their kills?
So once you do that, like when there's a knock at the door, you kind of know who it is, right?
You would think.
You know, I don't think that would be surprising. I mean, if you do that, you're obviously saying, hey, I did it. Come get me.
Yeah.
Like, that is creepy.
But there's so much of it now. We see it, you know, and in some cases for good, where we're catching people who are doing horrible things and, you know, they're trying to expose it. That's I'm all for that. But you also have insane people doing it too. Like, do you remember the man who shot the reporter and the cameraman 4 or 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That was, oh God, that was horrific to watch. I mean, especially doing what we do and having friends who are right there and doing that job every day. It's like, holy shit. You almost wonder, and this is a really morbid thing to say, of, I'm kind of surprised more of that doesn't happen. Just as an easy target as a news crew could possibly be, and crazy people being crazy people. But at the same point, you don't really see it necessarily used as vigilante that much either. You have crazies that'll go after innocent people like that, but you don't seem to have any crazies that necessarily go after crazy people. Like, I'm surprised there was not more shootings of the Westboro Baptist Church or people running them over or things of that nature. How, you know, sanity spared them or insanity spared them, I don't know. But it's disturbing that this is kind of an outlet for people right now.
Well, okay. And I don't want to get political.
Yeah.
But I'm going to, like, put my toe in the political water here.
Which one?
But the whole insurrection thing.
Yeah.
So if I was to go into the Capitol.
Yeah.
Now, I don't care where you fall on this line, but if I was to go in the Capitol, like, just bust through, like, I assume there's security if you were to go in a place like that.
Yeah.
And you just go on through, I would assume I would get arrested right away. But then, so all these people did that, and I get, you know, they were probably caught up in the moment, whatever. I don't understand it, but maybe that was it. But a lot of these people were Facebook Living the whole damn thing.
Yeah.
Or they left and they're like, yeah, I did it. Or right before, we're going in.
That's a prime example. Yeah.
You know, so I'm like, did you really think they wouldn't come after you? There was one guy I saw that they got, and he wore like his, he owns a painting company, and he wore his painting hoodie with the name of the business and the phone number on the back of it.
Yeah.
Like, here's me. I own this. Like, I just think that's crazy that they all would have done that with, and it's a mob thing, and they all, and there is a certain kind of insanity that, you know, mm-hmm. a huge mob of people can get all riled up.
Sure.
But I just don't get it.
All sense goes out the window. And that is a perfect example of some time in recent history where we've seen that happen in mass. Because you saw the videos, all those people breaking through windows. And you have to know you're entering the Capitol illegally if you're going through the window that was just broken out.
Well, and you just broke a window of the Capitol.
Yeah. Pro tip. Don't
That's
enter the Capitol through a window. You've just committed a crime right there. And everybody has their holding their phones up like torches almost, you know, taping it, live streaming it. And it's like, idiots, I do not know what the logic is there. Unless they thought that they were going to get in there and they were all going to just be, you know, pardoned or looked at as heroes, and they were trying to document their historical rise of whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
In this delusional state.
Yeah. I think that was the mindset for a lot of people. I really do.
Yeah.
So I don't think that in the moment they saw it was so wrong.
And then they realized it's the evidence that puts them in prison.
You know, the FBI comes to your door. It's like, shit. But, you know, you can't Facebook Live with two bodies in the back and not expect that. I mean, I would think maybe in that case they busted his door down to get to him. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that and, you know, it's the same. Like, there's so much that people put on social media, like constant updates. Like, I'm in the hospital, going to have surgery. They just came in and did this, you know, kind of a play by play. I just woke up. I'm super groggy, which is why I'm not, you know, texting very well right now or whatever. It's just kind of living your life.
It's narcissism on steroids.
Yeah. It's just a whole different type. If you like dogs and cats, you'd love to follow me on Facebook or Instagram. But I put some of my personal life out there. I just don't put a lot of it.
Sure.
I never really have. You know, I talk about baseball, college basketball, you know.
Yeah. It's, and I think it's generational too, somewhat. I think there's a generation now that has, you know, for most of their adult life or at least high school years and kind of formative years there, where they've turned in from, you know, teenagers to young adults, Facebook Live has always been a thing for them. So it's like there's always been this possibility and it's just been normal. So it's almost been so normalized as, yeah, of course, why wouldn't I be live streaming the bodies in the back? You know, I always live stream. Why would I change that today? Just because I killed some people. You know, it's a way of thinking that's so fucked up, but you can kind of understand it if this weird normal thing exists for this one group and the whole other rest of the world, it does not.
I'd actually have to think that person's in their 30s at least, if not 40s, because most younger people don't even do Facebook Live anymore.
That's true. Yeah.
But they're all on TikTok.
There's TikTok, Instagram,
different platforms. Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. I don't know. Let's go to our next one about Jack Palladino, the notorious private investigator who worked for celebrities, including Bill Clinton and Harvey Weinstein. He has died and he was just 76 years old. Palladino died, though, after he was mugged last week. New York Times and the San Francisco Chronicle reported this on Monday. The incident, which San Francisco District Attorney Chelsea Bodine called a brutal attack, according to the New York Times, reportedly occurred on January 28th. The Chronicle reported that two men tried to steal Palladino's camera after he had taken photos of them because he thought they were up to mischief. According to SFist, Palladino reportedly struggled with the two men and was dragged by the car and hit his head on the pavement in the process. New York Times reported that Paladino was placed on life support because of the head injury, but later died. Two men have been arrested. Paladino's wife, Sandra Sutherland, reportedly told The Chronicle that her husband's pictures were instrumental in leading to the suspect's arrest. I said, guess what, Jack? They got the bastards, and it was all your doing. Sutherland reportedly told Paladino while he was unconscious over the weekend, according to SF IST. San Francisco police and the San Francisco District Attorney's Office did not immediately respond to People's request for comment on Monday, which is where we're getting the story from. Paladino worked with the Clinton campaign in 1992 to disparage Jennifer Flowers after she claimed she and the president had an affair. He also reportedly worked with Harvey Weinstein after he was accused of sexual misconduct, The New Yorker reported in 2019. Paladino, who is partners with Sutherland, also reportedly worked with celebrities including R. Kelly, Courtney Love, and Kevin Costner. Why'd you do it, Kevin?
By the way, why'd you use him? Kevin Costner's super good in Yellowstone. Okay, that's all I'm going to say.
I'm on the fifth episode. I was binging it last night.
Oh my gosh, he's so good in that movie, in that series.
It is
anyway,
a good one. Yeah.
You know, okay, so to be a private eye, so I'm assuming he was doing his private eye stuff by taking pictures of these people.
It's my guess.
But like these days, I would be very nervous about, you know, having an actual camera. Like I would do it discreetly, like with a lapel camera or something.
Yeah.
But like today, I'm driving down the street and this guy's all pissed off at me and I literally have no idea what I did.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have been in the same lane. I haven't turned. I haven't done anything. Like, why is this guy pissed off at me?
Because you're Carol Hughes.
Yeah, well, it's my Cubs tag on the back of my car. F you, Cubs fan. But I don't, like, I have no idea. I usually go a little bit above the speed limit. And I don't know what I did, but the guy's all pissed off at me. He's driving like crazy. And like within a 2-block period, he had changed lanes like 7 times. I was counting. And he was like still only 2 cars ahead of me because he just kept going in between the same 2 cars. Because of course, everybody's now just pissed off at him. So they're not going to go any faster so he can get anywhere.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, if you're taking somebody's picture and they might think they have something to hide or like, what the hell are you taking my picture for?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Exactly. I mean, you don't know what you're dealing with or what substances they may be on. That almost sounds like you had a meth encounter or something with someone that was, you know, tripping out and extremely paranoid. But I mean, the thing, it could happen with anybody if you're doing that, just walking around taking pictures like that. I mean, yeah, it's kind of amazing, quite honestly, that someone that was in such high profile PI type positions that he lived to be as long as he did. And maybe that's horrible to say, but
well, maybe part of the problem was he was 76, right?
Yeah. And that, yeah.
And maybe his techniques had stayed the same over the years. So he's using his camera.
Yeah.
And it was very obvious what he was doing.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, how you kind of take that, you're like pretending like you're on the phone, but you're really taking a picture.
Yeah.
You know, maybe he wasn't like that up to date with stuff. I don't know.
Sure. I mean, and then you piss off the wrong people. And I mean, I'm kind of amazed he hasn't pissed off the wrong people before this and had a hit on his life or something like that from some high profile something. And we're talking about people like Weinstein and all that. And there's a lot of, you know, stories and stuff that go about with folks like that, that had power and how they had used it over the years. It is kind of surprising, but I guess he's working for Weinstein is what it sounds like.
You gotta be a tough person though to do that job for that long.
Yeah. And you gotta,
there's no way.
I guess it's almost kind of attorney like too, in a certain way where you can't discriminate a whole lot in terms of what sort of cases or who you're going to take. Cause I mean, he's going from everyone from Bill Clinton to Harvey Weinstein to Kevin Costner. And there is many others on his list too, that just kind of feel like opposites. So I guess you kind of got to take the the moral out of the stories and just go, I'm hired to do a job and this is what I'm doing.
You know, it makes me think, like, especially with Harvey Weinstein, the people that he's investigating are the women who are accusing Harvey Weinstein of that shit.
I don't know. I mean, why couldn't she just say no to that shit? I mean,
I would. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going on vacation. I'm retired, as a matter of fact.
I don't know why. And you'd have to say. Money. Yeah.
I get Social Security now.
So fuck off, Harvey. Yeah.
I'm getting $1,500 a month.
I actually watched a documentary today on Netflix, and it was good, but I kind of cringed at the beginning because the Weinstein Company logo came up, and I'm like,
Man, there's some good movies.
And that's what you got to think of. There was a lot of good people. It wasn't just him that was in that company. There was a lot of good people who put their heart and soul into work. And yeah, he was the one behind it, but you can't discount all these people's lives who are good people who had nothing to do with his insanity and horrible life. You know, so somebody worked on a great documentary and he ended up getting backing after he made the thing from that, before anybody knew these stories. You can't discount the work of the good people because of the horrible, horrible human being that he is. But it is good to see that he's not out there anymore. But it does, you know, it's kind of like, oh, a train wreck before the movie. Great. But it was interesting. Let's go to the next story here. This is victims of a triple murder-suicide identified by the Sand Springs police. The father of two young children fatally stabbed them and their mother at the Sand Springs residence before taking his own life, police said Monday at a press conference. Philip Daniel Stephen Ross, 31, killed Anastasia Stacy Lynn Smith, 41, River Gail Ross, 4, and Piper Ann Ross, 2, before killing himself, police captain Todd Ebenezer said is what the evidence indicates. All four died from sharp force injuries, he said, adding that investigators are confident that Mr. Ross's injuries were self-inflicted. Ebenezer said that the order in which the siblings, order in which the sibling, the stabbings rather, occurred wasn't yet known, but that Smith was found in the back bedroom while the bodies of the two girls and Ross were found in the living room. He said investigators found knives with blood on them, but located no other weapons in the residence. Ebenezer described the scene as gruesome and noted that such a crime is hard enough when children are involved. Harder still is when the crime is committed by a parent, and even more difficult when the killings are committed in such a manner as was the case here. He said the state medical examiner's report is still pending, including any toxicology report and approximate time of death. The deaths possibly occurred Friday night when neighbors heard a commotion around 10:30 or 11 p.m., he said. Ross had a history of domestic violence, Ebenezer said, but none of those cases appear to have resulted in any convictions, he added. Smith was not the victim in any of those allegations, he said, and Sand Springs police had not responded to any calls of the couple's residence in the Sunburst Estates Mobile Home Park in the 600 block of West Sunset Lane. Ross's mother discovered the crime scene at 2:30 p.m. Saturday. She had last spoken with the family about 7 p.m. Friday and was planning to babysit the two young girls Saturday night while Ross and Smith went out to celebrate Smith's birthday, which was the previous week. When she couldn't reach anybody by phone Saturday afternoon, she went to the residence, Ebenezer said. She found the screen door unlocked and the front door partially open. Chief Mike Carter said the Sand Springs Police Department joined the community in offering its condolences to the family. He also said he wanted to make it clear that we're not done with this investigation, that it was important to release information about the victims and to relieve our citizens of any fear of any ongoing danger. We're a close-knit community, and this community is hurting right now, Carter said. That's the worst thing that's happened in my 28 years in law enforcement, the chief said, adding that he has been bolstered by the outpouring of support and concern from the city's churches, businesses, and elected officials. Ebenezer, who said he had been on the police force for 30 years, said he doesn't recall ever having a quadruple homicide in Sand Springs. He said the city's last homicide was in 2017, when a homeowner was found to have been justified in fatally shooting an intruder. He said Saturday that a murder occurred at the same mobile home park about 16 years ago. In that case, Sylvia Bettis, 68, was found decapitated in her bed on November 4, 2004. News reports from the Times state, her husband, the Reverend Robert E. Bettis, 70, was missing for 8 days before his body surfaced in Shell Creek Lake, reports show. His car was found near the dam, news reports indicate. Police believe that Bettis killed his wife, then drove to the lake and jumped off the dam. Robert Bettis had been the minister at Victory Assembly of God in Sand Springs for about 7 years before he retired the previous March. the Tulsa Worldwide Archives indicate. So, probably something...
Oh, that happened by Tulsa? That was in Oklahoma?
It sounds like...
Because I think Sand Springs is outside of Tulsa.
I believe so, yeah.
Wow. That's horrific.
That's something you probably don't put on the big welcome sign to that community. Home of the decapitation
What's that?
I said home of the decapitation in 04 and the triple murder homicide in 21. Yeah.
Like, that's horrific.
Yeah.
And the fact that it was his mother that was babysitting or her mother, his mother.
The mother was going to be coming over to babysit. Yeah.
Yeah, she found him.
Yeah.
Like, you're no, like, there's so many lives that will never be the same.
No.
Never be the same after that. Like, how do you, I don't even know how you live past that. I just don't know how you go on. A lot of counseling, but that's just horrific.
Yeah.
And there's no explanation for it. And even if you were to discover why is never there's no satisfaction in it. It's not like, oh, now I get it. Even if you know why, you're not ever going to understand it.
I think the best possible scenario, if you're the mother and you just had discovered all of this and you're waiting on toxicology reports, is that you found out he was methed out of his mind. And that would be the only thing. It wouldn't be great, but it would be the one thing that might make a little bit of sense. If the test comes back and says, completely clean, nothing. That would be even worse, because that means you had a completely clean, sober individual finding this to be an okay thing to do, which I think is scarier than someone who would be under the influence of a substance, just in terms of looking back on the how horrible that human being must be if there's no other things at play here or mental illnesses or things of that nature.
And we talked about this in the last episode we did, I think. Like, with children, like, why?
Yeah.
You know, to have a grandma come get the kids or make up an excuse and drop them off somewhere, like, why involve the kids? I don't get that. It's just, and they're so young.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if it's, you know, it's the thinking of, well, if I can't be happy, no one else can, or what the fuck it is. But
yeah, no matter what they find out, though, it's not going to help.
No, it won't. It truly won't. It won't help. But that would be just kind of the one thing I would look and go, well, drugs make people do horrible, crazy things like that. Drugs like that. And that's where, I don't know. I mean, it wouldn't make it that much better, but I guess it would help me accept the person a little bit more if you could say or have like a villain here being a substance. But I don't know. I mean, it would still just be, I don't know how the fuck you get on from something like that. Feel horrible for that that family.
I do too.
Let's continue on. Another one here. This is interesting. Teenagers terrorizing Pittsburgh neighborhood with bizarre crimes, police say. Let's see just how bizarre they are. Bizarre crimes are terrorizing a Pittsburgh neighborhood, and police believe several teenagers are responsible. But despite their ages, neighbors in Brookline told Channel 11 that they've committed several acts to cause concern in the community. Stealing surveillance cameras, pulling fire alarms at a senior housing facility, lighting trash cans in fire, and other acts have neighbors on their toes. Wheelchair-bound neighbors have to evacuate each time. One woman who was caring for her father while he remains in oxygen said she was in bed Sunday night when her camera app sent her a notification that one of the teens hopped her fence and stole the camera. But she managed to catch the group of teens with that camera and shared it with the police. I just want them to stop. I shouldn't have to worry when I go to sleep what's going to happen to my house. She said, I feel like I have to live in fear. Police are looking into recent reports of crimes to see if any of them are connected. In the meantime, neighbors said that this must stop before something goes horribly wrong, delivering a direct message to the group, you need a reality check. I don't know what's going to take, but if you don't stop now, I can't imagine what you're going to be in a couple of years, the woman said. So it's teenagers doing crazy shit, which is not anything necessarily new, but I guess there's new technology involved. There's, you know, other things that are at play here. You know, you got somebody on oxygen, you got to keep an eye on things. And I think everybody's on extreme edge with COVID going on. So if you got to evacuate a whole nursing home because of a fire alarm, it's not exactly an easy thing on a normal day, more or less something like that. Thoughts?
But what's fun about that?
I don't know.
I get your teenagers, and I was a teenager once, and, you know, but to vandalize and to harass and to kind of terrorize a neighborhood, you know, especially those people. Like, if you're on oxygen and you have to evacuate every time that happens.
Yeah.
Because you have to evacuate.
Yeah, there's
no
choice.
You don't know if it's real. You know, none of them are moving fast. Not like they can just run out.
No. I mean, and the stress that it puts on those. It's just, it's fucked up. I know teenagers are going to do crazy shit, but this is, it's getting more and more different than just, you know, we're putting a greased pig in our school or something on the, you know, the whatever day. Or just kind of shit that kids would do. You know, TPing something or whatnot. Like, you're causing all these old people to evacuate their nursing home. Where, dude, you should have seen the old people running out of the nursing. Like, is this how the conversations go now? I don't fucking know. Cause it's just kind of terrifying.
And it's like, okay, kind of like the last story. Even if you find out why,
yeah,
that's still not going to be a good answer.
And I don't know.
Cause we wanted to, cause we thought it was funny. Cause what? I mean, it's not funny. It's not anything.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes I'm really glad that I never had children because I'm like, damn, that age drives me crazy.
Sure.
Like, I don't know if I'd do so well with a teenager. We'd probably get along pretty well until the kid was like 13. I'm like, shit, I created you. What?
Oh, it's a joy. It is... It's crazy, and you never quite know what's going on. But, you know, and then people, you'd ask them, like, what would you rather have, teenage boys or teenage girls? I don't know, because, you know, there's pros and cons to each in terms of, you know, emotionality or just raw testosterone doing stupid shit. And that's where I think you can wind up with situations like that story. And you're like, how do you then sit down and talk to your son and be like, what the fuck were you doing? You know, how was this something that it was funny? And there's just like, no matter how many times you pat the ping pong ball that way to get some sort of sensible response, you will never get it until they're like in their 20s and go, that was dumb. Until then, well, it's like, that was funny.
And then you meet the parents and then you go, oh, I get it.
Sometimes
makes sense,
you know,
but they're not all like that.
Yeah.
But I know someone, and I'm not going to say who or anything like that, but someone I know was on a school board at one point, and the things that parents said to get their kids off the hook or to cover for their kids or did with their kids, or like the big parties and they're the ones who bought all the alcohol for the kids, like it was just unbelievable.
That shit I've never understood. I mean,
So you have to wonder, sometimes it's parenting and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just a
loose cannon.
They get wrapped up. They think it's funny and one kid did it. And then it's like, well, to be cool to that guy who's really cool, I better do it too.
I think the worst thing that I was ever involved in as a teenager, and I didn't even do it. I really wasn't comfortable that these people did it. It was just part of a group of like four or five. It was like, I'm like six or seven guys. We were at the mall back when the mall was a thing. And there was the Santa display. And they had just changed up this mall display this year that we were there. And they had these reindeer that looked almost like weird demons. They were like standing on their hind legs and the heads just looked bad. I think like somebody at the mall made them by going to Joann Fabrics and somehow put furry things in eyes, and it looked like a something that you'd put in an altar. And a friend of mine, as we're all walking out of the mall, gets the bright idea to grab one of the heads, and it comes right off of the body, and he books it out of the mall. He throws it in the back of his, you know, 78 Chevelle or something, and they just take off out of there. And I'm with some other friends, and we come in different vehicles. We end up back at somebody's house, and then these guys have, like, it all propped up, and, like, it's, like, smoking a cigarette and has a beer in its hand, and it's the fucking mall reindeer. I find that somewhat amusing, but it seems like a different thing than, you know, evacuating old folks from a home. So, I don't know. Not to say that it was good or right, but... that's part of, you know, you're in that group of people and they're doing dumb shit. And it's like, I got questioned about it, I think, once. Like, do you know anything about this? I'm like, no, because I didn't do it. So I wanted nothing to do with it. Anyway, let's do another one about Mary Cosby on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Do you watch this one at all?
No.
Okay.
I don't.
This is...
I didn't even know that was a thing. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City?
Either did I.
Are they Mormons?
I don't know. But there's allegations of her running a cult. So let's go into that.
Well, Mormons?
Exactly.
Mormon cults? I don't know.
we'll see. Streets are saying that they want more Mary Cosby on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Apparently, Cosby shows up less and less as the season progresses, and that's been a little irritating to fans who want to know what type of life she's living. You know, being married to her late grandmother's former husband and all. But even though Mary has not been a strong presence on the show, the questions and even accusations about her character continue to roll in. A couple of months ago, someone reported that audio had leaked of Cosby speaking to her congregation, calling them poor because they did not give her a birthday gift. She's also a minister. With the story came allegations about how Cosby ran her church, particularly when it came to the money. Several members of Cosby's church were turned off by her unorthodox marriage, and they left the church. But for others, it was what happened after that left a bad taste in their mouths, and the complaints didn't stay in the four walls of the church. According to Entertainment Tonight, entire Reddit threads made claims that Mary was running a cult. They believe she's using the church's tithes for her own personal finances, including plastic surgery and skin bleaching. But during a recent interview, Mary shared that it's all just nonsense. Clearly, I'm not going to get on national television, be a housewife, and be in a cult. Like, come on, I believe in my church. They've been saying that since my grandmother started the church. She says to the cult allegation, there's no cult. My church members, they know those are false allegations. Those are ridiculous. It's the people that are looking for fault. As for the claims that she steals from the church, Mary said, that's so cruel. I feel like it's so judgmental because I'm an African-American and a woman, and I do have an eye for the finer things in life. Mary claims her money doesn't come from the church, but from generational wealth that she and her husband own several businesses. But it's not like I just have money coming out of the walls. These designer things that I have are collector pieces. After everything that's happened in terms of the way she's been perceived by the public, the rumors from the church, and even her conflicts with other castmates, Mary's not sure she'll be returning to the franchise next season. She said, I don't know if I'll do this again. That's a strong question, and I think I need a little harvesting. I think it's premature. I mean, would they want me back? Well, it's kind of intriguing. Now I may want to watch that show.
Seriously, I thought when you started that, I was Googling while you were reading that.
Yeah.
Because I thought that's an Onion story or something. That is not true.
No, it's real.
It's true.
It's true.
But, well, sometimes those types of shows, though, I have to wonder how much of it really is true.
Yeah.
But it does say that the whole married to her grandmother's, her step-grandfather or something like that.
That's a little fucking weird.
That's weird.
Yeah. You know, the allegations and the money, I mean, could it be family business and stuff? Sure, I get that. But at the same time, it does raise a little red flags there when you're, you know, head of a church and you're asking people for a bunch of money and you're kind of living this finer things lifestyle. It's not exactly like a good leader. But the thing is, you got people like, you know, Joel Osteen and shit that are out there blinging it up, and they attract gazillions of people to them, and they think they're just the wonderful people of the planet. And I don't know, I don't know anything about Joel Osteen other than what I've seen on the surface, and he lives like Michael Jackson, you know, in terms of just like royalty looking, or Donald Trump in terms of the just the gaudy shit. It has like a very royal vibe to it, and it's just like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not against religion or anything, but I don't really believe that it had anything to do with living like that.
Well, yeah. Yes, number one.
Yeah.
But, like, the whole back to the Housewives of Salt Lake City, which I just think is so strange. Like, I think, I don't think that's uncommon, actually. I think there's a lot of churches that don't have much money and the pastor's doing the right things. But I don't think it's uncommon for people to take money from their church.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say I mean, it probably isn't as common as I think, maybe, but you just hear about it.
I think, you know, if, I mean,
so maybe, I don't know.
Churches don't necessarily like having bad information out there about them or negative information out there about them. So hence covering up child predators for a long, long period of time. So I think it might be easier for them to hide it when they realize someone's fucking them over in terms of money. I guess morally, I don't know. I would think, you know, the money's a little bit lower on the scale of immorality than fucking kids. But who knows? I mean, it all depends on what we're talking about. And I'm not saying all churches, but I am saying the ones that do shit like that. Maybe, you know, they kind of brush it under the rug and we don't necessarily hear about it all that often, unless it's high profile.
Well, I did look up the pictures of the Real Housewives, and let's just say I highly doubt that they're in their Mormon undergarments, because I don't think it would go quite well with the dresses they're in.
I don't know that they're Mormons. I don't know that she's a Mormon church leader. But whatever it is, sounds like a lovely place to go,
but
doesn't
she
it?
If her grandmother asked her to marry, that whole weird thing kind of sounds not necessarily Mormon, but the offshoot of the Mormon religion, which you hear of.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of what they call themselves, but the
Two Live Crew.
Yes, those guys. No, the
Naughty by Nature.
It's like the Jessup.
Okay.
That,
yeah.
That
yeah.
guy who had kind of a cult going.
Yeah, he's in a crazy one. Yeah, he was.
So it's, you know, the average family, it's like, do this for me. I'm dying. Marry my husband. And he'd be like, Grandma, shut the F up. I'm not marrying him. So that's weird to me, but in like that offshoot of the Mormon religion, some of those, it's not uncommon for an old guy to marry a girl who's 15.
That's just fucked up.
You know, so that's why it makes me think of not necessarily Mormonism, but there's some offshoots.
And the fact that can go on, you know, and the fact it's like in the name of religion that can still happen at this day and age, just fucked up. And then the only time it gets caught or stopped is if, you know, somebody goes really fucking crazy and the authorities have to get involved. Other than that, it's like you live a fairly peaceful life and you're, you know, brainwashing all these people and, you know, fucking kids. It's like, oh, that's the religion. No, it's fucking, you're a step away from R. Kelly. You're just, you know,
but it's sad because in that situation, you know, this person is so powerful
mm-hmm.
in your religion and he's the prophet.
Yeah.
And so if that's what he says, you know, he's got this direct line that you don't have.
And you don't want to fuck with that.
You know, and that's why you end up married to your grandmother's husband, who was your step grandfather. I mean,
that'd be a good title for a book. And that's why you ended up married to your step grandfather, who was your grandmother's husband. Just a really long title.
For children. It's the new tween sensation book.
And also the new How to Win Friends and Influence People for Adults, incidentally. It's just as powerful. Let's do one more here today. A Vegas woman lights fire, attacks date after he showed up with $5, police allege. This could be a fun one. 43-year-old woman has been arrested for attempting to kill her dinner date. Las Vegas police say Kimberly Makira Johnson became upset when her friend showed up for dinner at Jerry's Nugget with only $5 in his pocket. When Johnson found out that the man was unable to pay for the meal, the two began arguing, and Johnson made a friend walk 2.5 miles home to his North Las Vegas apartment. About 20 minutes after he got home, Johnson arrived, and the man heard a splashing sound on the window and front door. He opened the door just as Johnson allegedly sparked a fire. The man reportedly slammed the burning door shut, and Johnson then allegedly used a hammer to break the front window of the apartment and threw her flaming purse into the apartment. Johnson's facing charges of attempted murder and arson. The Las Vegas Review-Journal reports the fire started at 5:30 a.m., according to North Las Vegas Fire Department investigators. He opened the front door just as Kimberly ignited the gas vapors, the investigators wrote. The front door and mat are fully engulfed in flames. The man slammed the burning front door shut. Kimberly then took a wooden-handled hammer and started breaking out the front window of the bottom-floor apartment. Jesus.
You think there was alcohol involved?
I don't know if that's alcohol. That's, I mean...
You think she was high?
I don't know that's high.
Like, isn't it crazy? Because, like, she's sitting there for hours like, you only have $5. $5. Nothing says premeditation more than you went and got some gasoline and brought a hammer with you. It's like, I'm going to do it. I'll show him.
Finally, he gave me the ammunition to do it.
And they'll never catch me.
Make this real inconspicuous with the gasoline and hammer. As I'm breaking, and then I chuck my flaming purse into the
and
house.
And probably with her ID.
Yes. Oh, shit, my ID's in there. Can I get that back? Thanks.
It doesn't matter. It'll burn up. They'll never catch me.
His body will be incinerated. No one will ever, ever see it. Jesus. There you go.
What?
Well, what not to do on a first date? That should be, yeah. You know, it'd be hilarious to do is to make
she
like...
She probably got back on dating apps by the next day when she got released from prison and from jail.
It would almost be worth it to sign up for some of those and do the paid subscription and make a fake profile with her picture on it. And then, like, put, like, in your hobbies and stuff, basically details of the news story of what happened. But you're writing it from her perspective. It's like, then I chucked my purse in there, and the motherfucker, you know, and now I'm on all of the internets, you know, or something. And then,
you could even be more creative, although I doubt this woman is. But it's like, a night with me will be so hot.
Just to see the responses, because I'd imagine you get a lot of
it's
like...
It's going to be so hot, and you and I are going to get hammered.
You'd get some that would be like, crazy bitch, and you'd get some that are like, I'm cool with that.
You know? Oh my God, if you did that, you said it's going to be so hot, and we're getting hammered, and we're breaking glass ceilings or whatever. She would get blown up. Like, guys would be like, I want a piece of that.
Yeah. They've always called me a bad boy.
It's like, if you have more than $5, you can hang with me.
I at least need enough to get a value meal. I ain't no bitch that's ordering from the dollar menu no more. Yeah. Jesus. Showing up with $5 and there you go. Well, that's going to wrap up our news roundup of the week. The dark side of the news for this, the wrapping up the week. It's the 5th or so of February of 2021. The world still sucks. If you like our show and you want to get access to all of our advanced episodes of the show, access to all of the final chapters of our Monday and Tuesday episodes, and it's all commercial free and help support our show, go to patreon.com/darksideofwikipedia or go to our website darksideofwiki.com and click become a darksider. $5 a month gets you all that access just to start binging away on. There's months of episodes up there that have not even been released yet that you can dive right into, so please do check that out and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Carol and all of us at Dark Side of Wikipedia, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.
This time of year, most of us are checking off our holiday gift lists. But identity thieves have lists too, and your personal information might be on them. Protect your identity with LifeLock. LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second and alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, LifeLock will fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Make this season about joy, not identity theft, with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.